Hold on.
Francis got to check his thinning hair real quick before we get going.
I was tweeting a blog about Jared. Okay. It's the rundown. With me as the host, we got Riggs and we got Big Cat.
It's true.
The rundown today is presented by FanDuel. The Gold Bottles giveaway takes on Los Angeles. It's a $5 entry, only 4,500 spots available. The first place prize is two tickets to Game 4 in LA, plus $2,500 and Gold Bottles t-shirt. Second place prize, $1,750, plus $250 of Barstool merch. If you finish in the top 400, you get paid. Go to FanDuel.com/GoldBottles.
Do you want to talk real quick before? That's a great deal, by the way.
That is a really good deal.
It's an unreal deal.
I want to go to LA.
Getting a flight and tickets to Game 4 World Series game. Do you want to talk real quick about the purchase you just made?
Yeah, sure. Well, I bought a ticket to Game 7.
One?
Just one ticket.
One ticket.
One ticket to Game 7 of the World Series, should it happen, at Fenway Park. And I immediately went up to tell Jared Garabas. I spent $2,000.
Now, how does that work? Do you get the, you bought it on a secondary market, I assume?
Yes.
So then you don't get that money back?
No, I do.
Oh, you do?
If the game doesn't happen, I don't lose any money.
Are you going to try to resell it?
Well, I don't think so. I think that my reasoning was that if the game happens and there's a deciding World Series Game 7 game going down at Fenway Park, I want to be there.
By yourself.
Yeah. And I also know that if this series extends to that point and we're getting into a Game 7, surely the value, that ticket will be worth a lot more money.
So you are going to resell it?
No, I'm not going to resell it. I just like knowing that I jumped ahead of the market.
Yeah, nice. You're going to look around like you idiots paid way more than I did today.
Yeah, although I'm hoping everybody in my row is like a real season ticket holder, mass hole, you know, being like, yeah, I want a hot dog.
Where's the seat?
It's decent. It's like, I don't know, 20 rows back along the first baseline or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Were you like hawking it for a while and then you pounced, or was this just an impulsive move?
You know, when the Red Sox won the World Series in 2013, I did the same exact move because I knew that Game 7 would be in Boston and I wanted to be at the deciding game. And it ended up that the Red Sox won in Game 6, so I got the money back.
You should do this for every World Series. This should be your brand. You know the guys who go to every Super Bowl? You should just buy a Game 7 World Series ticket no matter where it would be.
Right. Well, look, I mean, here...
Like every 5 years you get to go.
Yeah.
I only care about the Red Sox.
Right, but it would be cool if you were, like, the Game 7 guy.
That would be cool.
That's your new brand. Maybe even do it for basketball and hockey, too. Like, Francis, you need Game 7 ticket. He's your in.
I only have one ticket, though. one ticket. So if you have someone you want to bring, you can't.
Have you done that? Have you gone to a big game by yourself?
No.
Got it.
I'm not sure how I'm going to do.
Yeah, game's a good one because everybody's high-fiving.
I'm going to be buying beers for people. I'll get in early, get in quick with people.
Got it. Totally.
Yeah, make friends. Yeah. Speaking of sports.
That's, you do that well.
Monday Night Football was last night. We had the Giants playing the Falcons from Atlanta.
That's true.
If you're a Giants fan, this season has become a bit of a dumpster fire. Unfortunately, they keep winning close games, although last night's game was only close in the score.
They keep losing close games.
Excuse me, they keep losing close games. They're 1-6. Eli Apple just got traded to your Saints, Riggs.
Go Saints.
It looks like a fire sale is beginning. Riggs, your thoughts?
So I completely swapped my watching this game. I watched the first half. It was awful.
Awful.
There's absolutely nothing going on, nothing exciting, nothing fun. My roommate's a big Giants fan, so we're trying to get into it. Went to bed at halftime, woke up, checked the highlights. Apparently, the end of the game was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I missed all kinds of
pretty good
action. Yeah. Odell, I mean, he's like this guy that everything about him, you want to hate him, you want to dislike him, all the off-the-field bullshit. Like, his catch at the end of the game with all the chaos about how horribly they managed the clock and all of that was unbelievable.
Yes.
That catch was like one of the best catches I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So it was devastating that I missed it, but also
his
I wanted to dislike this guy.
Yeah.
Like his feet, the fact that he got his feet
in,
was like one of the best catches of the fucking year. That was awesome.
And it meant nothing.
It sucked that meant nothing, that I missed all of it because I was asleep, but it looked like it was a sick game.
I want to ask you two guys, because you're Harvard grads, not to brag. I know you're going to probably bring that up. Sorry to cuck you there. But the Mac debate that went down. I was on the my gut failed me. My big fat gut failed me, and I was like, what the hell are they doing? But the math debate actually was a kind of an interesting strategy. Did you see it?
No.
Okay, so the Giants were down 14. They scored a touchdown.
They went for two.
And everyone's like, what the fuck's going on, myself included. And then people were tweeting out these articles that, like, actually, that's the smartest way to handle it, because if you're down 14, you need two touchdowns regardless. So if you go for two the first time and you get it, the next time you kick an extra point to win. If you don't get it, you can go for two again because you're now down eight. And essentially the odds of going for two, getting one of two two-point conversions is better odds than kicking two extra points and then having to deal with overtime and the probability of losing in overtime.
Oh, interesting.
I totally agree.
I don't understand the actual math behind it, but I trust the nerds that have told me this is the right move.
Yeah.
And if it's interesting because it's like one of those math problems that I'll never understand, but I'm like, oh, I think that makes sense.
Why is it called the Mac debate?
The math.
Oh, the math debate.
It was. Mm. It wasn't like the math debate. It wasn't like a big, you know,
right.
We weren't splitting atoms, but
no.
Yeah. It was just football math.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so what is the, what's the, do you know what the convert, like, 2-point conversion rate, like, percentage
50%,
is?
Which that's the part that the math kind of breaks down is you, the 50% I think is the league average, but obviously the Giants don't have a league average right. offense.
So their overtime is a huge factor in that.
Right, like, and essentially the Giants proved, if you want to do the, well, they shouldn't have gone for it, well, they did go for it again at the end of the game and they hit it, so they did prove that they got it one out of two times.
Yeah, I mean, they were horrific in the red zone leading up to the first attempt.
Yeah.
And
also the Monday Night Football crew, and Tommy, you can talk about this because you're a Giants fan, the ball washing they do for Eli Manning, I'm actually convinced it's less to do, like, I know Kevin was saying that Eli Manning's a diva. I just think that Archie Manning is going to go down in history as the greatest helicopter parent of all time. Because he has brainwashed, like, the entire NFL, the media, everyone, that you can never say anything bad about a Manning.
Mm. Eli is too dumb to be a diva. I told Kevin this. He does what his daddy tells him. Like,
right, Archie is the diva.
Right, you can't play in San Diego, go play in New York. Eli, he just does what he's told.
Archie is basically the Kris Jenner of the football world.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's been for five fucking years they've treated him like this. Are they never going to be like, look, he's just not fucking good anymore?
Well, the thing that I don't understand, and Tommy, again, you can chime in here as a Giants fan, the offensive line stinks. That's why Eli stinks. I don't really understand
that. Well,
that
was true for a while.
The offensive line is bad. But being a good quarterback in an athlete, obviously he's the least athletic starting quarterback in the NFL. A quarterback can make your offensive line better by stepping up in the pocket, by moving the pocket, by throwing the ball quickly. Like, you can see that Pat Shurmur a few times, like, dude, you had an open guy. What the hell are you doing?
No, I that was a fair argument, I think, like, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when the offensive line was just terrible, and I think it was way more on the offensive line. Now at this point, Eli is also just bad.
He's for sure to blame because there's guys.
This is the first year, like, I always defended Eli. This is the first year where I'm like, all right, just why? Like, Eli
he also
can't do
it
anymore.
In the first half, he missed Odell wide open in the end.
And he missed the guy who the Monday Night Football crew just happened to circle and be like, everyone's covered. They circled three guys and they just didn't circle the guy who's wide open in the back of the end zone. And that's the thing with Eli is, I do think the offensive line sucks, but Eli, as soon as there's any pressure, he just turtles and doesn't look downfield.
I think part of it is he's also like an abused dog to a degree, too, where like through the years, if he was always getting a beating, always getting a beating. So now, not that his protection's much better, but he's still just always skimmish.
That's a completely fair thing. I do think there's something to be said for a quarterback who gets hit a bunch and then their eyes just don't go downfield.
Right. He just waits to fall down.
Then also the crew hit him, too, on the Odell miss wide open with like, I'm pretty sure he expected Odell to kind of expand the route there because they're in the end zone. It's like,
it's crazy. Just say something bad about Eli once. Just like, I'm not, I qualify every Eli take because I know Giants fans are sensitive and they have a right to be. That's just part of being a fan. He has two Super Bowls. He's had an incredible career. Like, he is a legend if you're a Giants fan, but it's also okay to say he sucks right now.
And that's hurting them right now.
Yeah.
The fact that he comes with like that pedigree,
although
is, like, they're not willing to.
I was actually thinking about this. You want this? Want me to throw this to you, Tommy? What's Eli's lasting legacy? The two Super Bowls, or the fact that he was so bad, and people were so scared in the Giants organization to bench him that he got you Saquon Barkley and maybe Justin Herbert.
I was gonna say he rebuilt the Giants.
Yes, like
he was
he
at
did.
The helm of the
He's
Giants.
He's gonna
rebuild.
Rebuild the Giants on his way out.
I'm in on that. I like that.
that's a spin zone Giants finch.
I like it. Speaking of quarterbacks, Derek Carr. has come under fire for allegedly crying during the game on Sunday. He says that he did not cry. His brother, I don't know if you guys saw this, then tweeted like a litany of injuries that he endured during the game. And then Derek Carr responded being like, don't even waste your time with this. And they're saying, Pro Football Talk was saying that he may have lost the support of his team, the locker room, because they think he's a bitch for crying. Big Cat, your thoughts?
So, I mean, I had fun with this a couple weeks ago when the crying thing happened in London, just because it's a funny thing to, like, joke about. But if your argument is Derek Carr's not tough, you're a fucking moron. He played with a broken back. And I do think there's a level of, like, you can have fun with these, with like, joking about this stuff, but there's definitely a fundamental level where if you're actually questioning the toughness of a guy who played with his broken back, you're an absolute moron.
It sucks that the Raiders suck. I want them to be good so badly. I feel like it's just so much more fun when the Raiders, they're black, they're badass, Gruden, all that, and they just stink.
Yeah.
They're a disaster.
Do we have an echo, by the way? Can we turn down the echo? We're all of our things that we're saying.
I'm hearing it. Yeah.
I wasn't hearing it. Did my ears
suck? Hear it right now?
It's coming off. Yeah. It's coming out of the TVs or something.
Well, now I'm upset. I'm concerned that I didn't hear it. That you guys
you had a good Raider take, and all I could hear was the echo.
Right.
Well, shit.
Well, anyway.
You got a problem with your ears?
Oh, thanks, well, Aldous.
I didn't think so.
Moving back into
that was a good point. I agree. The Raiders, especially their last couple of years in Oakland. Football's more fun when the Raiders are good, especially John Gruden. I don't know. We'd like to rag on him. But it would be fun for him to have, you know, a couple big time games.
Imagine like cocky John Gruden.
I think he actually still is cocky.
Yeah. But like justified sucks. Cocky.
He also made the Amari Cooper trade, which I actually think that was genius by John Gruden, because he can now package all the trades together and make it look a lot better. Be like, well, we traded Amari Cooper and Khalil Mack for this many first round picks when there's no way anyone should have given up a first round pick for Amari Cooper. And he shouldn't have traded Khalil Mack. So if you put it together, it's like, well, I'm not doing so bad.
Yeah.
I also, Derek Carr had a classic, like similar to a not one iota quote, where he was like, I did not cry, not one tear.
Not one tear.
Yeah.
It was great.
He's got very emotional eyes.
Yeah. I watched the slow motion, I think it was a GIF, or do you guys say GIF?
Yeah, I say GIF.
GIF, whatever it was. That face, I've made that face before, and that means you're either holding back tears or they're about to come.
Right.
So certainly felt like.
But he's got, you know, everyone always says he might be wearing mascara because he's got pronounced eyelashes.
Yeah.
So maybe that's just what it is.
Nothing wrong with that. I don't have a problem with guys wearing makeup. Sometimes it really helps to like pronounce the color of your eyes. Yeah.
You're good. You can wear whatever you want. 2018.
You can. Good for Derek Carr. Let's hope that he sorts it out. Speaking of sports again, LeBron is off to a very bad start in Los Angeles. They lost again last night in overtime to San Antonio. They are 0-3 in the LeBron era. And of course, we also saw LeBron, although he did get them to overtime with that great three in overtime, he had a chance to win the game or extend the game, and he chose a 22-foot fadeaway just inside the arc.
What happened with the free throws? Was that like Dave?
He missed two, right? Did he miss two free throws? Yeah. LeBron's free throws have been weird. Like, I'm not going to say he's bad at free throws because he's not, but they've been weird because I think he's changed his free throw shot a few times over his career. Mm-hmm. And they're weird.
Yes.
He's got like a weird look to him now?
Yeah, they're just, he's never looked fully comfortable.
No, he doesn't look confident. And it's whenever he misses, it's always the same miss. It's always the brick off the back rim.
Right. And again, he's not bad at free throws. It's just you watch him and you're like, yeah, that's a guy who's not confident enough in his free throws. Two misses at the end of a game is definitely possible.
Yeah.
Whereas like a Steph Curry goes up there and you're like, okay, he's never going to miss
again.
It's like
a layup. Right.
Do you think a part of him is okay with like a lackadaisical, like we don't have to be all stressed out all season, we're not that great season in like LA?
It's an interesting question, Riggs. It's a very interesting question.
Are they in full tank mode?
No.
I don't think so.
No. But you're never in tank mode with LeBron.
Right. So here's the question, you know, like how bad could they be?
they're not going to be as bad as, like, they're not, they're going to be fine, and they're going to make the playoffs, and they're going to still win 45 to 50 games, but they're also not going to compete for a title. I think their team is just weird. They just have a lot of weird parts.
Very young. And I also,
Brandon Ingram is suspended, who is their second best player.
I also think it takes some time to get used to playing with LeBron.
Oh, for sure.
To like kind of space the floor and get out of his way. And,
yeah.
You know, he's like, moves at a different speed than everybody else in the league. So
it's also very stressful to play with LeBron because if you lose, you are the how did you let LeBron down team.
Right.
And if you win, it's LeBron gets all the accolades.
Right.
I feel like we're just not going to see as much of him this year because he's West Coast too, which is fucking, I just feel like never when I look, is he playing?
Yeah, it's almost genius of him. He's like, I completely agree. I followed along that game because I bet the Spurs, and I went to bed in like the fourth quarter. It was like, it's 1 o'clock in the
morning. Like these late playoff games, but every night.
Right.
They're not that late, which is brutal.
Yeah, his faults will not be as, focused
pronounced.
On. Yeah.
All right, thank God. We're moving out of sports.
Yeah, let's go, friends. Now let's go. Yeah. We got the sports out of the way. Barstool Sports.
Good stuff.
Some good sports topics, though, Francis. Good job.
We did well.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. Sports, little spirited debate.
I know. I can't wait. I also can't wait for game one of the World Series tonight.
Which you don't have tickets.
No, I don't have tickets.
Just
but,
game seven.
It means a lot now game that seven, I have Francis. A ticket to game seven. One ticket.
Yeah, that is smart.
Yeah.
So now are you rooting against the Red Sox in certain spots?
No, I am rooting for them to win and then lose and then win.
So you are rooting against them in certain spots.
Well, look, if they won it and I got my money back and they win the World Series, that's a win. If the series goes seven games and I get to go to Fenway for the deciding game, that's a win.
The you only built yourself a win. Well, there's a win. Yeah,
there's
and lose.
There's three outcomes here. Two of the three are in my favor.
Would you wear a GoPro for Game Seven?
Sure.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Like just a Francis, like a POV.
Yeah, I like that.
Not even the GoPro facing out. Just the GoPro facing out.
Like one of those when you like shoot a video game, they put it on your to get your expressions.
It's like a Twitch stream
on your helmet.
Smitty does that. Seven.
Yeah, he does.
Twitch.
I think that would be great content.
Ah, let's do it.
Okay.
I'll introduce you guys, the whole world, to all of my friends in the box that I'm sitting in, or the row, buying hot dogs and stuff. Fenway Franks. We got, speaking of Fenway Franks and hot dogs and things that make you fat, a guy hired these segues are on fire.
Yep, that was seamless. Good. That was really good.
This guy hired a personal trainer to help him lose weight, and then the trainer went to all the restaurants around his house in his neighborhood and told them to ban his client from eating at their restaurants to help him lose the weight. Riggs, your thoughts?
So my thoughts are, great laugh, by the way, that was nice. Mm. So my thoughts are that the restaurants have to be morons to keep this up or uphold this, right? Because why would you put like an advertisement that your restaurant makes somebody extremely fat to the point that it's like deadly? So I feel like there's no way this would be upheld, and this trainer just comes off as like, I don't know, he's trying to like if you're a really good personal trainer, just get through to the guy and have him fucking, this is your diet, this is your workout, do your thing, help him, blah, blah, blah. When you go around with all this kind of concoction, all that's not going to work because it's horrible advertising for the restaurant. Seems like a bit of a scam just for a little bit of attention. I don't like it. I'm not buying it. I'm woke on this guy.
Ooh, I like the move in principle, but Riggs has clearly seen the flaw here. And I also think the other flaw is some enterprising businessman probably should call him up and be like, hey, listen, your personal trainer came by. I just want to let you know you're not banned. And you can eat here at any time you want.
Oh.
And maybe even do like $100 all you can eat for the month deal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just lure him back in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of fucked up. Right. But that's capitalism,
and
right?
And everybody wins, too, because then the trainer has to stay on longer because the guy is not really losing
the economy
weight.
Just keeps going.
Right. It's better for the economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although our health care.
Right. I hate that my tax dollars goes towards those type of people. Really irks me.
That's the least surprising Francis comment ever.
Do you know, you probably sit there at night,
God damn,
I was made for that moment.
You hear about like these guys in like super high-end personal trainers who don't just like work out their clients. They also like move in with them and literally watch every single thing that these people, their clients, put in their mouths. They work them out. They become a full lifeguard.
And porn, they have sex with them too.
That's true.
Oh, that's also big.
Yeah. So all kinds of stuff.
Well, my point being, like, you know, that to me seems like the only real way to assure, like, are these, why would a restaurant ever turn away a client?
Right.
Especially someone who's obese and they're like, you're going to be setting records in here. Go for it. Like, that's insane. There's no way. So, I don't know. I think
why
the only
they get your tax dollars.
Yeah, this is like if you want to take it to like another vice, like gambling. Like a bookie's never going to shut off a client.
Right.
They just give you free plays to try to keep you in.
Right. It's not on the drug dealer to say don't have any more heroin.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Imagine if a drug dealer carried around a letter that was like,
yeah,
do not give drugs to this person. It's detrimental to their health.
Right.
It's unlikely.
Yeah. Okay, more weight issues. A bride has...
Did you do the second ad?
Well, oh, yeah. Forgive me.
It's okay.
You're forgiven.
MVMT, movement watches, are fantastic watches. If you've ever worn a watch and thought, I want my watch to look more expensive, but I don't want to pay more for it, try movement. I think that's something that Kevin often says.
No, that's exactly what they do.
I love it. Yeah, they look like fantastic watches. I also know they make sunglasses, too. They make everything. They're tremendous. Check them out. Go to mvmt.com/rundown for 15% off a fire watch.
Woo!
Felt good.
That was nice.
Yeah. I took commercial acting classes before I started at Barstool.
Yeah, you were in a...
I was in a couple.
AT&T, right?
Yeah, no free ads, though. I got paid.
Are you still out there?
I get residual checks for
those. No, but are you still out there? Like,
I think there's one for Humira that I was in, which is like an arthritis medicine.
No, but are you still out there in like...
Oh, no.
Someone could call you up and be like, hey, we need an actor. We need a ginger actor.
I don't think I'm... I don't think... Because we do ads in-house, so I'm...
Gloss right over that.
Not really. What's that?
Before the rundown started, we had a conversation about Francis's hair, and he's like, I don't like when other people make jokes about it, but I'll... Because I want to make the funniest joke about it.
Yeah, did you just make a joke about my hair?
I said if... I said if someone called up and was like, hey, we have this part for a ginger actor with thinning hair, would you... Are you still out there?
You know, I don't know. I don't know what I would say.
He predicted this.
I don't know what I would say to that.
Literally before we started, he said, I don't care about people making jokes about my hair. I just hope that I can make the funniest joke.
I just thought this was going well until that moment, and now I don't want to be here anymore. The last topic.
Francis, I think your hair looks luscious.
I don't want to.
Great. Nice. Give me a look. Let me see. No, turn your head all the way. Yeah, it looks pretty good. Would you put product in it?
No. No, I had it in this morning, and then I went and worked out, and I washed it out. Now it's all floofy again.
How much do you bench, bro?
I don't really. I do like... this is so off the rails.
You know, no, that's okay. This is what a Francis rundown is. How much you bench?
It's like a little collage of thoughts. I don't really do like flat bench. I just do the dumbbells, like alternating now.
Ooh, nice stability.
I do like 60 pounds in each hand.
What did you do today?
I do a lot of pull-ups.
Oh, how many at a time?
Well, now I've gotten into these weighted pull-ups, so I put like
the chain around
the belt with the chain, and then I put like a 45-pound plate, and I'll do sets of five.
Whoa!
I'll do like five sets of five.
Your pull-ups are no joke. I'm not gonna make it. I mean, I can't do a pull-up.
I love it. Pull-ups are like for me the single best exercise you can do.
We should put a pull-up bar in this office.
It would be fun.
Yeah, it would be fun.
Yeah, grab some of the scaffolding here, whatever this is.
How many times you would stop by it per day?
I would spend a lot of time on that bar.
Yeah, we should do it. Mm. We should put a GoPro on the pull-up bar.
Yeah, that's nice. These are good thoughts. Better than the hair thing you said.
I apologize.
That's okay. I'm
it's
over
because
it.
You said
that's very Dave of you.
Well, it's because he said it before that
it
he would be devastated if anyone made a joke.
But I said it when I said it, the cameras weren't rolling. And then you brought it up and you broke that wall.
Dan.
I trusted you not to bring that up. That was a said in confidence.
You can make a fat joke about me.
I don't want to. I'm not doing that.
Speaking of fat
people like Dan.
You that's fat fire piece segue. Of shit.
You're a piece of shit. Right. Your diet sucks. You're going to die early.
You're going to have to pay for it, though.
Whatever. At least I'll have a full head of hair, thanks to some kind of treatment.
some kind of technology that hasn't been released yet.
Yeah, I'll live longer.
Come on, medicine, you got this. Research.
A bride fattened her bridesmaids so that she would look better at her wedding. Unbelievably savage move. Dan, your thoughts?
I mean, it's a great move. I'm actually,
because he's fat. Yeah, he sucks.
That's good. I'm shocked that this is the first time someone's admitted it. I just assume this happens all the time.
100%. Right? My first thought process is like, isn't this normal?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, she probably Googled, like, how do you do this? Right. And everyone, oh, yeah, this is the process. Because I did the same thing.
Like, not to be mean here, but if you go to a wedding and there is a bridesmaid that is, like, stunningly gorgeous, people will notice.
Yeah.
And that's why I also think a lot of times brides will put their bridesmaids in dresses that aren't very flattering.
Sure. Yep. Sure. Know? Absolutely. I've been going to a lot of weddings. I went to one this past weekend. It is unbelievable how much weight some brides will lose for their weddings. I mean, it borders on unhealthy. It's like,
no, I think it just is unhealthy.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, and then like,
but they look good. Yeah,
they look unbelievable. Absolutely. Apparently, this bride, she was like giving them smoothies. Nate blogged this. Nate Dogg, do you have any back info on this? She was giving them like weight gaining smoothies. It sounds like it was straight out of the Mean Girls. Like
or the Seinfeld when they were eating the yogurt.
Right.
And they didn't know it was fat free.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know how you don't catch on if you're a bridesmaid to.
You're just taking massive dumps and you're like, why is this happening?
She's like, it's like, oh man, she's so wonderful. She's bringing us smoothies now for 3 months that she never did before. Like, fucking catch on.
And they got to the point where they had to alter all their dresses.
Wow. That's so awesome.
Like,
that is so awesome.
I mean, how do you not know? Like, I'm just getting fatter.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. I'll tell you what, I'm going to select my groomsmen based on who has the least amount of hair in my friend group. And I'm sure Dan,
bald guys,
something about weight. For you.
My hair's great.
No,
I'm saying
you're gonna choose a bunch of elephants.
Yeah,
I
got a little bit of gray, but I got you know, it's dying it is totally fine because I'm not losing it.
Yeah, so. You do have good hair. Yeah. I have to give you
thank
the nod
you.
There.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Making you a little jealous.
Distracts from the cholesterol soaked gut that you've got. That's why you always wear crew necks and loose fitting
what a turn.
I like this turn. This is guys busting balls.
It's not fast shaming, it's busting balls.
Fun talking sports.
He did the hair thing.
Guys busting balls.
Yeah, it's just locker room talk.
Yeah, handle it great.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's kind of the rundown.
Oh, what about that Lion article?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that was a Francis fastball down the middle.
Keith blogged this. Great blog. Check it out. I always try to fluff Keith up a little bit because he's the one who chooses whether my blogs get published.
That's still happening?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You've been here for like a year and a half.
Almost two years.
Wow.
Well, because I'm so I walk the line. It's dangerous to let me just fire
like Johnny
from the
Cash.
Hip.
Ooh,
yeah. You're so edgy.
Yeah. Well, it's not. It's just a liability, really.
Yeah, that's true.
So this lion was killed by his mate, the lioness, because an animal science expert actually said that in this relationship, the male lion was too wimpy and metrosexual. And that the female lioness like wore the pants and had all the power and thought he was too much of a bitch and she killed him. Unbelievable. Riggs.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't it common in the lion culture for the male lion to kill the cubs?
When he gets hungry.
He
leaves after like 2 years. He'll leave and go find more mates. I don't know if he kills the cubs.
I'm pretty sure I could be wrong. Maybe it's tiger or something. I'm pretty sure one of them when they then like wed or mate a new chick lion, mm-hmm. then they kill all the previous cubs.
Interesting. So that they don't like come back and then steal mates or something
Yeah, to like kind of like reassert like no, this is my family, new family, something
spread
like that.
Spread the seed, yeah.
Oh,
so that I had heard about before. This whole where they kill the metrosexual lion, I'd never heard of before.
Uh-huh.
This is wild. This has to be like a captivity thing, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Is this also a hate crime?
You're saying that the lioness
like
might have thought that the lion was.
Doesn't it feel like a hate crime?
Or gay? I don't know.
This lion expert was going hard about
how he did say metrosexual and wimpy, which potentially infers some kind of.
But that's not what gay people are.
No, not necessarily.
Right.
No, not necessarily.
No, I would say definitely not necessarily.
I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that was really offensive what you just said.
You were the one who brought it
up. No, I asked the question and then you finished my thought.
Oh, well, I was just guessing. I was just guessing there.
Shot in the dark, you know.
Well, I just like though. I just like the thought of it being like the, like this line has to go to court.
Yeah.
Like they execute it. I feel like they do usually execute like when a lion like it's bullshit. When a lion like breaks out of its cage, they fucking shoot it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's an animal. And it was just trying not to be in a cage.
Yeah. To your point, I do know that the female lions in the wild are typically the ones that hunt and provide the food for the young.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think they are. It is definitely a species where...
And the male just chills and protects
like drop dead dads.
Yeah, I think he just kind of like flaunts his mane and like looks to mate with whomever he can.
Interesting.
The mane is one of the more like regal looking things.
Oh, sure. Sure is.
Oh, yeah.
I got excited.
I'd like to do a safari. I was turned off on it for a long time.
You should go by yourself.
Oh, I could trade my... I bet my ticket will appreciate so much if we get to that game. I'll sell and go to on a safari. You
well, you're right, Riggs. Yeah. The mane is a beautiful thing in nature. It's like the men who have more hair and not thinning hair.
Yeah, and you know what else I could about see nature? Started,
people want to mate with them.
Dan started to pet his own
stuff. The
you know
hair,
who else does well in nature are the male lions that are sinewy and athletic and are not extremely paunchy.
Sounds like they're almost
and sedentary that don't watch football Sunday, eat Doritos. Like it's survival.
I disagree, Francis. I think that in the lion culture, the heavier lions are the kings of the jungle because they have been they're
the
such
muscular,
good at, they're
heavier
such good at
lions.
Eating and finding food that people respect them because it's like, wow, that lion, he's just a rich.
All right, well, I know this. I know that for a fact that lionesses would prefer a patchy lion with like kind of rough fur to a fat piece of shit.
Wouldn't you think a lioness would be like, oh, that guy's fat, he can provide for a family.
No,
there's more than enough food to go around here.
Look, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Did you guys know?
It's the worst rundown ever. I don't ever want to do it again. Go buy your watches and shit.
I know this is a great rundown, Francis. You also say this every time.
I know. I'm having a lot of fun. Yeah, I really, this was great.
He's going to go up to bed with that big smile on his face.
Here's something that
I'm going to watch at the moment it drops at like 5 o'clock.
Here's a fun after show topic.
Oh.
Tommy.
Tommy Smokes.
Daddy's gone. Tommy's a different guy when Daddy's gone.
Mm.
His whole crew is gone. So,
what does that mean?
What do you mean? What do you think that means?
What do you mean? You're all chopping it up with the boys about a pre-production meeting.
You think I'm just ripe for the taking? Time.
Yeah. What?
You think I'm just ripe for the taking? You mean?
You're what?
I don't know.
Ripe for the taking.
There.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You are. You're lion.
Cub.
You're a cub, and the lion has left the den.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting there trying to fend for yourself.
It's all right. I got my own lunch today.
Oh, interesting.
I usually do. Anyway.
It is just funny. It's something to watch.
Yeah.
When Davey goes out of town, Tommy's like, he tries to basically come back into the culture of Barstool, not Team Portnoy, and he struggles.
He does.
That pompous ass, like, Team Portnoy attitude
Good joke, Dave.
And then he's just gone. You're like such a vacancy when they get him out of the...
Your eyes. Yeah, you have
social
a thousand
structure
years.
Of the
that
office.
Must really suck.
He's just been staring at the elevator. Every time it beeps, he's waiting for Dave to walk off that floor.
Yeah, it really is.
You don't belong,
so
bitch.
So we can just follow him around the office.
Yeah, you should work somewhere else.
Yeah.
While he's not here. Yeah.
You don't belong.
No, you don't.
Remember that.
You look out of place.
You do not belong.
Uncomfortable on that stool.
Listen.
Kind of squirming.
No Frankie here.
No Frankie. Frankie's gone.
Did Team Portnoy just leave you here?
That's what I said. I was shocked he was here.
I'm not a Red Sox fan.
When I was like, are you going to Boston? He's like, why would I go to Boston? He's like, well, you go everywhere Dave goes.
Right.
Yeah.
Usually there's nothing for me to do in Boston.
You went to like Pump Punk. You go everywhere Dave goes.
No, you could have made him coffee and...
Did you?
Yeah.
You just laughed at his jokes.
Mad at
basically,
your
regular job.
That's great, Dan.
Are you not?
I love this.
You're not in his good graces or something.
Yeah.
Was
there trouble?
Falling out?
Interesting.
Falling out?
Nope. Things are stronger than ever.
Do you have trust issues now, knowing that Dave will leave you behind like this?
Mm. All right. Good show, everybody.
Did he start calling you a lot.
As a producer.
Tommy's not feeling so...
Wow. Great rundown.
Weird.
This is a great rundown.
See you next time.
This is a weird feeling.
Tommy.
Even weird. I think it's a good show.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah,
sure. We'll talk to him off camera.
Yeah.
Or we won't.
I know.
Because no one will.
That's right.
Not even he's a rat. Fucking taking notes. Every time Dave's gone, Tommy's taking notes.
He
who says something bad about Dave?
He took attendance.
Yes, he does. I know. He's
the times that people got in.
Yeah, he was like, Trent, here. And like, it's a weird thing. Yeah. We never do that.
For the record, that didn't happen.
Yeah, we never do that. But we do that when... Interesting.
Yeah. Mm.
So what are you going to report back about today's occurrence?
Well, you guys are rather mean to me, but I'm not sure if that'll make the report or not. We'll see.
That's a rundown.